Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Common Council meeting to order. It is 7:03 p.m. on April 28th, 2015. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weagle?
Here.
Warwick?
Here.
Romine?
Here.
Penrod?
Here.
Simpson?
Here.
Like we've never done a roll call before.
It's a different
Sorry. Minutes are in front of you from our last meeting, which is April 14th. Were there any changes or corrections?
I do have one correction.
Okay.
On the second page under Ordinance 2015-13, where it starts and says 14,000 less than a regular, that should be police officer.
Oh, thank you. Totally missed it.
Other than that, it's okay.
You got that, Sal?
Yep.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Nicole, Ben, and Jackie approve, and Dan and Bill abstain. First up on the list is Ordinance Number 2015-12. This was an ordinance that was tabled at our last meeting to have the owners present. I think I saw them, yeah. So, can I have a motion to read Ordinance Number 2015-12 by title only, please?
Second.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read Ordinance Number 2015-12.
Ordinance Number 2015-12.
Thank you. There's no title on this, that's why. But so this is the alley vacation. Are both of these going here? Okay.
One's mine.
Okay. This is the alley vacation next to the LaRue's house. Actually, in between the two properties that the LaRue's own. I think at the last meeting, it was decided to be tabled because we still had some questions. And I'm trying to remember here. I know it was important that. The other thing was is to make sure the whole council was here to be present to discuss this and stuff. So that's why it got tabled last time. Sure, that's perfectly fine with me. You want to give one to the LaRue's? Did you give one to the LaRue's, or is this from them?
It's from them.
Okay.
Yes, FYI, this is what they're proposing.
So in front of us, what we're looking at, it looks like is kind of a property, a look of the overhead of the property with where gate points are going to be. And this, was this provided by you guys? Okay. Yeah, go ahead and come up to the microphone if you can. Again, please state your name and your address, and then feel free.
My name is Vern LaRue. I reside at 508 East Van Buren Street, Columbia City.
Okay. So what would you like to point out on this for us?
On this, I know one of the points that was an issue last meeting was how we were going to show that the alley was terminated or ended and no longer passable. On this, you'll see there's two green dotted sections there up the middle of the alley between the two properties. You see where that's... Okay, those both represent gates. They'll hinge on the outside, pivoting, allowing full access to the middle. That'll also allow the easement. So if the city needs to access it for water, main issues or whatever may have to happen for yielding the right of way. And that'll also, the front or the one facing closest to Van Buren mm-hmm. Street will be a privacy fence type gate, and the one towards the rear closest to Market Street will be a chain link style gate.
Okay. Council, questions?
He also stated that to me that, you know, with that looking like an obvious turn or a possible alley there, that he would put cones up there for the time being to help with a saying that, you know, it's really closed and help people get kind of used to it. You know, obviously there's not a whole lot of traffic there anyway.
Right.
But, you know, when you first drive by there, it does look like it's a point of access. But he was going to go ahead and put cones up there for a period of time to help with that transition. You know, once the gates are in place, obviously, you know, that's not a mm-hmm. way to get all the way through there. But he'd like to keep that entrance there because he does park in front of his garage there as well. So it's more like it'd be more like a driveway at this point.
That explained it, because I was thinking to myself, why would we not put the fence closer to Van Buren Street? But that would explain why you're going to use that kind of as a... Yeah, okay. Council, other questions?
So, I mean, is your main objective just to be able to close that off?
The objective is to close it off. I've got a dog. We use the other property. The house sits very close to the alley. Actually, according to the last survey I had, the eave of the house actually does overhang the property line. And that's all previous built, probably 50, 60 years ago. So it becomes a safety issue at times. If anybody does come up the alley, it's almost a blind spot right there. So that's the other side of it, as well as just to make it more usable for us.
I think it's really interesting that on there is the previous platted alley that looks like it was vacated one time.
Yes.
To the, that would be the southeast of you?
Roughly. Yeah, it's the rear of the lot that we own next to.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
we
yeah.
own that lot as well.
Gotcha.
I did pull the number for that if anybody would like it for reference. That
the vacation number?
Yeah, the vacation okay. number for the previous, mm-hmm. where I list previous alley. It listed as Ordinance 2003-1.
Okay. So it's half of that vacated alley yours?
Yes.
Half the person behind
yep. you. From what I understand, that's normal. Morsh's, I guess, is the one that requested that alley to be terminated.
Yeah.
And whenever an alley gets terminated, I guess 50%, it gets split.
Yep. And in this case, obviously, with you owning both sides of the alley,
right.
that's why it would go 100%. If approved, we go 100% to you. Any other questions?
So, I mean, if there was a way to allow you to close that off without actually vacating it, I mean, would that be acceptable as well? Or?
If that's the only way we can go, I obviously the preferred method would be to close it. That way it's mowable and I can extend that fence over for my dog as well. So, but if that's the only way we can pass, then...
I'm not so sure you can do that legally. I mean, gating an alley, I mean, I'm not so sure we can do that.
I don't know if we can do it or not.
I think you've got to go with a vacation.
Probably would become an issue then for if I have a gate across there, it's probably more work for the city than if any time they want to grade that or plow it, somebody's got to open the gate for them to be able to do it then.
Well, I'm thinking more of a long-term lease that for a nominal fee. I mean, I have an issue with just giving away city property.
Well, in that ordinance that I mentioned previously, there's no stating that that piece was even purchased, so I think that kind of, I don't know the total history of any alley that's been ended, but the one that I was aware of, I pulled information on, and there was no information that was in there that anything was paid for the alley at that time either.
I agree that I don't like the idea of giving away the public's property.
When we just bought you know, tenths of acres along 205, and we're paying $25,000 an acre for it.
I don't know. I've experienced this throughout the county, not only in the city, but in the county as well. When they vacate walkways and easements along the lakes, and, you know, it just comes to, it's, I don't know, I've just never seen it being that that big of a deal, quite honestly, when you're talking 16 and a half feet by, I understand where you're coming from, you know, when we dealt with the State Road 205 issue, but I don't know, I've seen walkways and that vacated and roads that were never developed that were just vacated and then went half and half out in the county as well. So I don't know, I'm kind of looking at this as, I don't know, I don't see it as a major issue in my opinion, I guess, vacated.
I think it's interesting. You know, we've done other vacations, if I'm remembering correctly, and I, gosh, I'm thinking here. I think we vacated a couple of easements. Granted, you could say that's not necessarily city property like alleys are. I think they're somewhat comparable, but we have vacated utility easements in the past, and I don't think we've charged for that. Not to say that that's not something you could decide or not decide. It's just I'm thinking there was one over in.
Well, we did the Legion, but the Legion had another property that was
right. No, I'm not.
Like a swamp.
I'm not thinking
swamp.
The Legion. I thought there was a utility easement kind of behind Mary Raber there, like right past Jefferson Street, and I'm forgetting the name of the subdivision there. But like off of Deer Path.
Yeah, Brennan's.
Brennan's addition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think we charged that. But again, we're not talking about as big of a property, if you will, as this. So I.
Well, as I said last meeting, I did call several different places, realtors and other things, and the information that I got is there's no real value to that, to the alley itself. Where the value would come in, your property will be reassessed, and that will be more property that you own, and you'll pay higher taxes.
Correct.
That's where the value comes.
But the one of the issues I have, though, is not so much, you know, it seems like we're almost saying that this alley has no use to the city, therefore let's give it away. And I think that premise might be at fault. Because there is nothing south of that alley now, this city's been here a long time, and circumstances can change, and that alley could once again become useful to the city. If things south of that, of the alley south of his property, if things south of there are developed, if things happen, which they do, then that alley could be useful again. I don't see giving it away because we don't think right now it has use to the city doesn't seem to make sense to me. 50 years from now or 100 years from now, the city's still going to be here and that alley could be useful.
So question real quick. Marsha, I'm going to throw a question your way just as a random thought here. We have a utility easement currently on that piece of property, correct? I mean with a water line, right? Okay, so having an easement on that property, I guess what I'm wondering is if we, quote-unquote, give this property away, I guess the question I have is, having an easement there, is that something that you could almost convert that easement into an alley in the future? No.
No, because essentially the easement is the property becomes theirs.
Just the work on it.
So the easement is purely protecting it from being
built upon.
Improved upon.
Okay.
To subject that easement to, you know, not being able to be usable for the water.
Okay.
Utility.
Go ahead.
I guess in answer to your question as far as the growth of the city, anything that would grow that way would still be accessible from Market Street. So the extending of the alley would not necessarily hinder any kind of growth or future development.
I understand that, but the way alleys were developed originally gave them multiple access points. And doing away with that because at this point we don't think it has any value doesn't make sense. This is property that belongs to the people. It could be useful again. It's matter of fact likely that property south of there will be developed.
What's in lot 5 and 6? Is that the old beauty shop?
Actually, let me see here. 5 and 6.
Right,
yeah, 5 and 6 is the old beauty shop.
Okay.
So Morsha's, I think, owns the back half of that. It's kind of split weird because I think Morsha's owns like the back half of 5 and 6 over to Market, and somebody else owns the front half of 5 and 6.
Like where the house and
right,
beauty shop
in the old beauty
is.
Shop, yes.
And then Morsha's has 7.
And then Morsha's owns 7, yes.
I would like to address a question that you ask, and then you moved on very, very quickly. But you ask about an alternative, and one of the things I would caution against, not your lease alternative, that would be statutory, we'd have to look at that, but the alternative of having it gated off with some sort of an agreement, I would caution against that, because if there was a big fire or something and that actually was city property and it was an alley and we couldn't get fire trucks in there because of gates, that would be a liability issue. So that alternative I would not do. So I'm just pointing that out.
I was thinking more along the lines of the lease.
Right, but you sort of mentioned the other.
Yeah.
The lease would be statutorily covered. We'd have to look to see if that's even possible.
And would the vacate go just to the end of the red lines? It wouldn't go to where that black line is?
No, it would go to where the alley,
where
the corner is. Yeah, that black line is basically just showing the new property for lot 2.
Right, but you're not bringing it down.
No. That would infringe on a different alley. So, yes.
Other questions, comments from the city council?
So can you do a long-term lease?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It'd be statutorily covered. Sort of looking at an issue similar to this, and there's procedures, you know, because it's still public-private, and so there's procedures you'd have to go through a bidding sort of appraisal process and those types of things. And I would have to investigate that to even let you know that whether that even be possible here.
So you think there's any precedence for setting by continuing to vacate alleys?
Well, that's really your decision. I mean, certainly.
I mean, from a legal standpoint.
Well, I mean, sure. Whenever you do anything, you know, you could argue you're setting a precedent. But certainly, if you're going to vacate something, you're setting a precedent. But you look at the facts of every situation and determine if that is something that's a precedent that's really going to come up again and again and again under these very specific circumstances.
Yes, sir.
And then I guess in answer to your question, precedent. Well, if a precedent was set, it would have been set by this previous ending of alley, and then we wouldn't be having the discussion. In my mind, if it's truly a precedent concern. Because I have, you know, there's other places where alleys have been ended, and there was no precedent set in my case. So I don't know how that would set a precedent in any other case. It would still be case by case, heard by the council and decided that way, would be my thought. But
any other? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I agree with that as well as the situation.
Yeah, I think
every
we're saying
situation.
The same thing. I mean, they're all fact specific.
Yes.
I mean, as you look at them, as far as, you know, setting a precedent for that set of facts, you know.
Does anybody remember, I believe the first time we talked about this, Tom had an opinion about whether...
I don't think he was here, because I think Ben asked the question about about fire trucks up and down that alley and that
but
kind of stuff.
But you said we don't run them down the alleys.
Right.
Okay. Very rarely do we run them down the alleys.
Right.
Because
right.
They don't support the...
So it's not a safety issue, actually.
Well, just because they're so big and wide
and heavy, yeah.
And, yeah.
But that's not to say you wouldn't run a hose line down it.
Sure.
I mean, you know.
And with the right-of-way, you still could run a hose down it.
Well, if your house is on fire, we would find a way to run it.
Yeah, by all means. Drive in the yard, do whatever you got
to
do.
If we need to. I mean, it's, you know.
Are you going to do anything with the other lot besides just recreation? Are you going to build on that one?
At this point, there's no plan to. I've got a garden there, and it's predominantly recreation. There was some discussion at one point of possibly putting a garage there. That was kind of before we learned about the water line that was there, because originally the thought was put the garage across. But we've talked about it. I'm not for certain at this point, but there's no real plans to do that.
And you would try to dig it up and make grass?
The portion there between the gates would become, we would grade that down, you know, whatever a safe distance is to stay away from the water line and put dirt and grass that.
So in the future, if the city decided they needed that back, I assume they would have to purchase it.
I We probably could, in the agreement, we potentially could put in a clause that says if for some reason the city needs it back, that maybe that's something, because we already, I mean, that maybe it's provided to us at no cost or something, if that we see an inherent need or something. I don't know, it would be some kind of a mechanism to prove that, let's say, right, that way.
It can't be improved upon, so
yeah,
it would,
yeah,
be
that's what I'm
something
saying.
That
I mean,
would,
yeah,
be difficult as long as all the parties would agree to those terms.
I would be agreeable to that.
It would have to be binding upon any successors.
Yeah. I mean, it would probably have to be recorded, I'm guessing, right, Marcia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would revise the ordinance.
Okay.
It would need to be in there.
You could do that on second reading.
My concern is, you know, we're talking with Vernon, we understand what he's going to do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the person who buys this after him is going to do the same type of thing. So, you know, that's my concern, is anybody, a future owner might have a total different use for that.
But no matter what, they can't build on that.
No, they can't build on it, no.
So,
well, they can build on it, they can't build across the alley.
Right.
They can build on either side, on their
right,
current
right,
property, but not across the alley.
Which they'd be able to build on either side. I mean, they're able to do that now.
Right.
It's just through the alley.
Because if he wanted to build something there now, he could.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
And that would somehow be like when it's recorded and somebody else would buy the property, it would
go with the deed.
It would say you can't build there, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, they couldn't build anyway because of the easement.
Right.
But if there was the agreement that, you know, if for some reason there's a reasonable need for the city to take that property back as an alley,
mm-hmm,
that kind of in the agreement, and I'm kind of going off of what Ben said here, but that as long as there's a reasonable need, and I don't know how that would be decided, but the city could take that alley back over and.
But I'm saying if somebody buys it, they will know they can't build on that little area. Because what if they want to build a garage on the, you
they
know
still
what I'm saying?
Yeah, no matter who, they
could
build on
it. They're going to say there's an easement there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. So your answer is yes.
Okay.
That is yes. Any future owners would not be able to, as long as we have a water line going under there and we have an easement. That's correct.
For the full width of the alley?
Yes. Well, I don't know. It would just be on the easement itself. And I don't know how... Mike, I don't know how wide the easement is or in that area. Do you know? Do you know how wide the easement is?
I don't.
Okay. Offhand.
Do you know?
I know it goes right up the alley.
I have no idea.
Okay.
It does up the middle of the alley?
I believe it is up the middle of the alley.
Okay. So it would have to be at least enough room to work on both sides. I bet it's the same
width
of the alley. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if that's an easement or just an alley flat.
Yeah.
We might have to have an easement drawn up.
I think that is included in this.
It is.
Yeah. Do you know if the easement is the width of the alley?
It really would be whatever is necessary.
What's a normal easement?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is a normal easement? 12 foot? No.
15 is
15.
The we allow.
Okay.
Usually 20 if we can get by with you could allow that.
Okay.
I would stick with the, if you're going to do it, 16.5 foot.
Okay.
You need enough room for the equipment to get in there, load, unload, without going mm-hmm. on the private property.
So to answer your question, I mean, you're looking at a basically same reasonable size, mm-hmm. give or take. There's an easement as it is the alley. So is that, I guess what I'm hearing is that kind of the middle ground? Is that there... the opportunity that maybe the alley can be, I guess, given over or vacated with the understanding that in the ordinance or especially in the agreement, that if there is a reasonable need for the city to take that back and establish it back as an alley, that the agreement is that can happen.
That sounds like the motion.
Can we compel that to happen? I mean, if...
That's how I would suggest you amend the ordinance.
So if a year from now we say, sorry, we want our alley back, it's our alley.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. On first reading, and
on
then we amend it.
With the amended
for
to
second
be presented
reading.
At second reading.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Okay, and all those opposed? Okay, so 3-2, it moves to a second reading, and we'll get those changes in the ordinance, and it'll be presented at the next meeting, but I'm assuming Marsha or Rosie or somebody will keep in contact with you to make sure that we have that ironed out.
Yep.
Okay, so it'll go to second reading at our next meeting.
Okay. Very good.
And will you be here again?
I will do my best. My work takes me out of town once in a while, so okay. I'll do my best to be here. Is that in 2 weeks, typically?
Yes. That would be the second Tuesday of May.
Second Tuesday of May?
Yeah.
Okay. The 12th, I think.
Sure, absolutely, if you want to say, well, absolutely.
Not that I'm opposed to the half vacation. I just think, I've seen this done so many times in the county and other areas. That's why I voted no. It's not that I'm against what you're doing, okay? I just say, once this is done, we just go ahead and go all the way with it. That's my opinion. So I'm not against what you're doing. Okay?
So how do we proceed at the next reading? I mean, we proceed forward with, I guess, the current write it up as if it's
the next
yielding
reading,
right of way?
The next reading, well, by...
Well,
I'll
take care of amending the ordinance.
Okay.
And I'll get it out to you, but it'll be on the agenda for the next reading.
Okay.
And so it'll incorporate the things that were discussed here and approved here.
Okay. Now, I don't mean to tie up your time. Just procedurally then, because of Mr. Wiegold, his opposition to not just giving it, what's that present us with at the next meeting then? We're debating back the other way, or?
Since it passed 3-2 with the amendment, it will go that way.
Okay.
So, majority rules.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
As long as they vote that way again.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. And that is, and Marcia makes a very good point. There, with the one more reading, there could be changes of heart. Okay, it's just that's what happens between first and second reading. So, especially because sometimes people can give their comments during that time period, which is the purpose for two readings. So, so yes.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you for your
time. Thank you. Okay, next up, tax abatement for CNR plating. Gentlemen, take the mic, introduce yourself. Glad you're here tonight.
Well, good evening. We're here with Art Wormet, who is Vice President and Managing Director with CNR Plating, which is part of a company based in Southeast Michigan, a large plating operation. Looking to present to the council an abatement request for abatement on new equipment, new manufacturing equipment. Looking to dramatically increase the company's capabilities here in Columbus City. I think it represents maybe the first time in a long time we've seen a significant investment or upgrade from CNR, which I think speaks to the work that Art's done the last few years, helping to plot a direction for the company and the operation, looking to increase what they can do, both working with current customers as well as perhaps expanding their reach. So I guess I want to turn it over to Art and talk a bit about the abatement and see if you have any questions.
Hi, I'm Art Wormet. As Alan said, I'm Vice President, Managing Director of CNR Plating. CNR has been a member of the Columbia City community since 1968. It was purchased and acquired by Casey Jones in 2002, which is the Michigan-based company. It took a lot to convince the owner that Indiana was the right place to invest and try to expand as opposed to doing this in Michigan. Michigan is all over, as you might anticipate, with the problems they have, particularly in the Detroit area, to try to expand operations. But I think it was the cooperation of the EDC, the state, and the local government officials and so forth that convinced Bob Berger, who's the owner, that Indiana was truly the place to do this. So we made a sizable commitment, and the project's actually, as most things do, crept quite a bit. We started with about $1 million scope, and we're up to almost $3 million now in terms of total investment. We hope to expand the corporation and add approximately 29 jobs, which would increase our payroll by about $750,000. We currently employ between 72 and 80 people, and we're proud that we're also able to employ a lot of those people from the work release program, which I think introduces people again to the community and does good things for all of us. We're excited no end that we're going to finally step into the 21st century with a piece of plating equipment that actually is automated somewhat, computer-guided, laser-controlled. It'll increase our capacity by greater than 100%. It allows us to compete in areas where we could never compete. Our working envelope plating was about 13 inches, and now it's going to 9 feet. So it's a huge, dramatic improvement on the way we're able to process parts and move them through. So whereas we were unable to compete on larger pieces of equipment or larger volume jobs, we'll now be able to easily handle that volume. We actually started to sell this about a year and a half ago when we started to think about doing this. And we've actually had to move some work to Michigan, so by gosh, we've got to hurry up. We don't want any more to go to Michigan because we actually don't have the capacity with the current equipment. So as it comes in the door ahead of time, we're not prepared, we get ourselves in trouble. What we're seeking is help with the equipment portion of our investment, which includes a highly automated plating line. It also includes some upgrades to the infrastructure in terms of the things that it takes to run that plating line. Any questions that I can answer specifically about?
First of all, I'd like to have you relay, at least on my behalf, to your owner that we appreciate you staying in Columbia City. You've been here a long time.
Good.
One question I do have, you listed that you provide 401k and health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you have an approximate dollar per employee that is per year, or you can get back to me on that.
I'm going to have to because I think I'd misspeak. It's changed, you know, greater than 20% every year since I've been there,
yeah.
The wrong direction.
Yeah.
So I'm having trouble keeping track of exactly what we currently pay.
I mean, that is a significant benefit that a lot of places don't offer. So.
Absolutely.
Other questions? Jeffrey, you have anything to say?
Well, my first big boy job was under Darrell Lambert at CNR. But I was not working for these. as Art indicated, he provided a statement of benefits for personal property to us, as well as the intake questionnaire form through the EDC office. The tax payment committee met and scored based off of the information and obviously met the criteria. And it's our recommendation to the council to approve what would have been requested by Art, and that is traditional 10-year tax payment, 10% sliding percent every year. And I believe I have a recommendation in front of each of you, so that would be what you would approve.
Any questions from the City Council? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, up now is resolution number 2015-16. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read resolution number 2015-16 by title only.
Resolution number 2015-16, a resolution approving the deduction of assessed valuation for personal property improvements within an economic revitalization area in Columbia City, Indiana.
The one place that obviously needs filled in that I think is circled on your Dropbox, that's the 10-year. That's been the recommendation of the Tax Abatement Committee, which two of you are a part of. I do want to read the findings of this project and get head nods from you if you approve. So in the matter of the application for personal property tax deduction for CNR Plating Corporation, in accordance with Indiana Code, lots of numbers, the Common Council of Columbia City has reviewed the statement of benefits provided by the applicant and makes the following findings in the affirmative. One, the estimate of the cost of the new manufacturing equipment is reasonable for equipment of that type. Okay. Two, the estimate of the number of individuals who will be employed and whose employment will be retained can be reasonably expected to result from the installation of the new manufacturing equipment. Okay. The estimate of the annual salaries of these individuals who will be employed and whose employment will be retained can be reasonably expected to result from the proposed installation of the new manufacturing equipment. Thank you. And other benefits about which information was requested are benefits that can be reasonably expected to result from the proposed installation of new manufacturing equipment. Okay, and finally, the totality of benefits is sufficient to justify the deduction. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve resolution number 2015-16 as presented?
So moved.
With 10 years?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Bill motions and Nicole seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. I think we also have SB1. Is that right? Do we approve the SB1, Alan? Can we approve the
SB1? Just going to be the SB1. It was forwarded to Rosie.
But the resolution, we don't need to approve it, do we? I'm trying to remember how we do these.
That's correct.
We do not have to do it because the resolution covers it, right? That's what I thought. Okay, cool. Very good. That's exciting. We're excited to have you here.
Thank you.
We're excited for all your good work, and the delay was exhausting for all of us, but I'm glad we're finally there. I would also like to add, this is Alan's last tax abatement with us, and I want to thank you for all your hard work, Alan. You know, what I've really appreciated about Alan is his kind of his innovative leadership and the economic momentum we've had since he's came into office. He's been a great partner for the city and for the county, as well as for the other towns. And we're thankful for your leadership. We look forward to you bring lots of good companies here to Columbia City in the future with your regional partnership position, and do look forward to John Myers joining the team, and are excited to work with him. So,
thank you.
Council, any words? You approve of what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
both.
Thank you.
Next up is ordinance number 2015-13. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance. No, gosh, I just lost it. Ordinance number 2015-13 by title only.
Ordinance 2015-13, an ordinance amending the City of Columbia City salary ordinance for 2015.
I will try to quickly refresh your memory for those of you that were here and presented for those that weren't. This is a change in which kind of was started by a dispatcher that was hired that had lots of experience, and so in order to accommodate that experience and bring in to be able to properly compensate that experience that individual is bringing to the department, has brought to the department, we really started looking at the idea of probation. And specifically, when you look at the idea of probationary pay, we felt like for not only communications, but specifically for police and fire, that it made more sense to give a range, so that if we have somebody that comes in with zero experience, that they would be at one place, and somebody who had 5 years of police experience or fire experience would have an opportunity there. Obviously, we're competing with other communities in some ways for these individuals, and we want to be able to hire the best while still keeping our budget intact. So, as I said last time, that's really what this ordinance does. It does improve the probationary rate for patrolmen and firefighters in their first year. There was a $14,000 difference between probation and full-timers, and this ordinance decreases that gap. The high end of the range, I think, is a $3,000 difference, Tim, roughly. But keep in mind that the majority of people we hire in are not going to be at the high end of that range. The majority of them will probably be toward the lower end of that range. But it is, I felt it was really important for our department head and HR to have some flexibility to reward experience. And maybe less training we have to give that individual based on the wage range. Also keep in mind that any wages have to be approved, any wage, setting of wage or increase or decrease of wage has to be approved by both the mayor as well as the clerk treasurer. So there are checks and balances already in place there. So, questions you have of that? Okay, go on.
No. It starts to coincide with our other departments, because we already have stations, or not stations, but ranks of each department. So that just kind of blends everything basically together now.
It's still the probationary side. It's still set apart from the normal. But it gives a range. So, for instance, yeah, I think what you're saying, maybe I'm not answering right, but for a before. Let's say, and I'm going to take dispatchers because they're a little different in a lot of ways. But for dispatchers, let's say there's a range for dispatchers, I think, isn't there? There's a range for dispatchers. There's a range in which they can be paid, just like patrolmen and firefighters. There's a range there. And I know that retirement is based on that as well, so that's a different story. But so having a range, I think, makes sense for those probationary. Yeah. Well, and again, you have two candidates. One comes in as with zero experience, and one comes in with 3 years experience, and we don't have to send them to the academy and so on and so forth. I mean, that saves us money, and we get them on the road almost, you know, much quicker than the person who has zero experience. So they should be compensated as such.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 2015-13 on second reading.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is ordinance number 2015-14. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Nicole, seconded by Jackie. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2015-14 by title only.
Ordinance 2015-14, an ordinance amending Chapter 75, Traffic Schedules of Title 7 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Kelly and Marsha, somebody want
to
take this?
Well, this was all provided to me, so I just prepared.
I think Rosie kind of spearheaded
okay.
that.
Okay. Sorry. This way, this way. Sally?
Here, so.
No. I know that this is something where we kind of found that there was some segments of our streets that did not have speed limits. And so it kind of automatically becomes 30, I think, when there's nothing posted. But obviously there's portions of this, portions of the community that wasn't covered that shouldn't be 30. They should probably be less than 30.
I like
30. I know. I'm sure you do. So...
I'm trying to figure out how you get up to 30 on Hoosier Drive.
I don't know. I don't know. You have to get some pretty quick speed going on. Our chargers probably can get up to that, but
Bill can.
So that's what that's what the
long.
First what
not for very long.
You're right. End up in the woods or something. So so that first portion is setting those speed limits for those areas that we have found that didn't have a speed limit. Let's say it that way, so they were automatically 30. And then section two is amending the maximum speed on North Street between Line and Forest Parkway.
Now, is North Street 20 mile an hour the whole way now?
Yeah.
Okay, I know last year we had a discussion, part of it wasn't. Does this fix that then?
Well, no. Is it still 30 between Chauncey and...
I think it's 30 from
I think it's 30
Main to
from
Line.
Main to Line, mm-hmm. but then 20 west of Line Street.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, west of Line Street it becomes 20.
So you think that's still okay there?
It was 20 to Gates Road, and then Gates was basically 30.
Okay.
Got changed to 20, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? Does this need to be passed on an emergency basis or no? No.
I was not told that it
okay.
was. It appears from her
notation,
her notes, that several of them were misspelled,
mm-hmm.
the street names.
We tabled it at the last meeting.
And then
yes.
she added one. She added Robin Way.
Yeah.
So.
Get a Snickers bar if you know where Robin Way is.
I do.
I know. I do. Okay.
Where's the Snickers?
Afterwards. Okay, can I have a motion to read ordinance number, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2015-14 on first reading? Motion by Bill, thank you.
Second.
Second by Ben, any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Next up is department head reports. We'll start with Mike.
Today we reinstalled our flood mixer that was up for repair. I got it back in and running. Finished up the first quarter information for the long-term control plan. I had that together in a packet. I was going to pass that off to United tonight, but Jeff Larson is not in attendance, so he is going to stop by my office on Thursday and pick that information up and be able to put that in with the model and do some new for the model, put that information in and hopefully we'll be part of that.
Thank you.
So mentioned to the Board of Works, and we have some quotes for truck repairs that was damaged during the winter plowing the alleys. We need to have some body work done to it. And the again this year we are going to host the eighth graders from Indian Springs Middle School on May 4th and May 6th. We give all the eighth graders a tour of the facility. Yeah. That's it.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Jeffrey.
The trail extension from South Chauncey over to South Oak Street began this week. And as is typical, there were some challenges to this. A few utility issues came up, and so we're working through those. But there's a good likelihood that at least the stone and the binder will be on the trail by the end of this week. So that's really good news. Obviously, that doesn't mean that it's completed, but a good start on it. So, also, the demolition bids for the building across the alley at 213 West Van Buren Street are due this Friday at the end of business. And I'm currently showing two of the three contractors that solicited bids from the premises. And at this point, I don't know whether they'll bid or not, but two of them have taken the tour. The redevelopment commission approved the request for proposals for the former Eagles. I think I reported on that. It's been advertised, and I've sent out, I believe, 10 solicitations to various developers in the area for consideration. The latest update of the comprehensive plan is online. There is a short survey that is available. It's a SurveyMonkey 5 minute, Mayor, about.
Yeah, it depends on if you give comments, yeah, but I would say majority will be 5 to 10 minutes.
It's a short survey. If you haven't taken it, I would urge you to. It will help us further define direction and focus for the comprehensive plan. I believe the survey will be closed after May 15th, I think.
Sounds about right.
I think it was May 15th, Friday, 15th. So please share that with all your groups, including Rotary.
I owe you an email, I know that.
And last but not least, the 205 project continues. There'll be a groundbreaking, kind of after the fact, but a groundbreaking May 6th in the afternoon.
I think it's 2:30.
Okay. If you can access the Peabody Public Library lot, that's where we'll be doing it. Hopefully you'll be able to access it.
Yes.
There again, we've had some utility issues with that. Not been quite as smooth as I would have hoped to begin with. Obviously, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Mike?
We're working on the water main down on Wallace. We're hoping to have it, the 8-inch, done by the end of the week. We have the first section charged so that CNR plating, you know, has water for their sprinkler system and that already. Hooked into their building to have them. They don't have the sprinklers, but they have the water's there for them. So, other than that, just, you know, regular maintenance.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Mark?
If you haven't heard, we had to cancel our opening day Saturday, which was a disappointing thing we had to do, but it was cold, windy, and I think for the most part, everybody kind of understood why we did it. it would not have been good to have kids out there cold. We heard a lot of people that were not going to come, so we just canceled it. We started our games officially last night with softball, and baseball is tonight, so we're underway. And a lot of work going into that. Appreciate the work of the softball committee and the baseball committee to pull that off. And so good things happening there. We had the trout fishing derby a couple Saturdays ago. DNR stocked our pond in the back with trout. They put 400 trout in there. They got a lot of publicity through Wayne TV and our local media. It was great. The downside of it was that we had so many people back there. It was unbelievably packed. But like I said, DNR put it on. They're very happy with the turnout. I suppose, I don't know if they'll do it again or maybe limit the number of people that show up. But it was a busy day back there.
Random question. Do you have to have a fishing license to go fish in that pond?
Yes.
Like anytime. Obviously that day was free, but I'm saying anytime.
Yes.
Are there trout left?
A lot of them were fished out. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just asking for the public's knowledge.
There's actually a limit as well of how many you can take.
Of trout?
Yeah. And people were well exceeding that from what I hear. So.
Okay.
We're still dealing with the 205 construction as well. People are handling it, understanding that it's a tough entrance now, a little bit more difficult the way it is set up right now, but we'll get through it. So we're just asking people to remain cautious as they enter and leave the park. And then we'll be cleaning the pool next week and getting that ready. Hopefully it'll open up for us again. So.
Questions of Mark? Thank you, Mark. Tim?
A big thank you to all the agencies that helped us out yesterday as we searched for a missing gentleman from Columbia City. After a long day of searching, he was home safe and sound. He came home safe and sound. So we're happy to be safe. I think I've named all the departments and agencies and people that helped us out with the press. And big thanks to Rob Arms from R&D allows us to use some ATVs to access some difficult areas. We had TASER training last week. A quick update on our hiring process. We had 43 applications to start with. Two Saturdays ago, we had the physical agility and the written test. So I think we had 13 no-shows that day, which I thought was quite a few, which left us with 20 after we got that testing done. The field has been narrowed to 10, and we will interview the 10 applicants next week on Monday and Tuesday evening. Then we will narrow the field to 5, and then those 5 will be interviewed by the Board of Works. So that's just an update on our process. Hope to have that done by first week of June. That's my goal, have that completed. That's it.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Terry?
We have several projects that are pending due to our fiber installation, which was supposed to start Monday and did not. So Sean's trying to make contact with them to find out when they're going to be here. Also, the 13th, I think, of May, we're going to do some sound improvements into the sound system here at the conference room, so hopefully everybody will be able to hear each other better. And hopefully that'll go well. It's going to take 2 days to get it done, so that's all I have right now.
Questions of Terry. Hopefully those sound improvements will allow us to be able to hear better, you guys to hear better, and us to just have better sound systems. You specifically. I think a little bit of upgrade is probably a good thing. So, okay, thank you. Kelly?
Our concrete guys started working on ADA ramps in Graber Heights yesterday. We'll be working on that on and off. We put a catch basin in out on Liberty Drive and Countryside, the intersection. There's a water problem out there, and we put about 120 feet of pipe in and a catch basin. We'll have to dig the trench out tomorrow and get binder in place because Wayne Asphalt was awarded the contract for street paving this year. They want to come in if they got the the job right away and probably start milling out on Countryside and Liberty Monday, and probably go from there to Armstrong, Connection Way, and mill as much as they can and turn around and come in and start paving. They're going to leave Diplomat and Elm Street. Elm Street has to get the curbs put in place by J.B. Conner before the paving takes place. So they're going to do that and Diplomat at that time. So that'll be later on. So that's all I have at this time.
Questions of Kelly? Thank you, Kelly. Marcia?
Nothing.
Sally?
Nothing.
Jackie?
Nothing.
A couple of things you should know. The men's restroom is now complete. So if you've not stopped by the men's restroom downstairs, unless you're a female, it looks great. I think I think it's going to be a good thing going into the festival season, where a lot of times people don't get past those restrooms, and so it's kind of a good way. It's a weird welcome mat, but we've made some improvements down there. Hopefully people will appreciate those. I'm going to leave that there. We have, you're welcome, everybody. We have some great things happening this week, but Eagle Glen Garage Sales going on this weekend. Friday and Saturday, okay. We have a really good ribbon cutting happening on Friday. actually, two ribbon cuttings happening on Friday, so that's pretty good. Next week, just FYI, I'm going to be talking to Eagle Tech about homelessness on that accord. We have a gentleman that has came into our community for the next couple of days. His name is Harry. He's Harry the Homeless Vet. And he has a Facebook following, and he's checking out to see how friendly our community is to the homeless. And Tim went out, welcomed him, legitimately welcomed him to the community, and I think I'm going to be meeting with him tomorrow. And he does kind of an interesting thing. So if you have any interest, go on Facebook or whatever and take a look and go from there. Besides that, we miss Rosie. She'll be back, though, hopefully in the next week or so. And a lot of economic development things happening still, and project season is basically here now, so it's a busy time. It's a busy time in our office and in their offices specifically. Dan?
A couple things. Especially after opening night last night, we always seem to have a problem down there. It's nobody's fault except for the lack of parking, which is a great thing. I got hit up already a couple times. And like I said, I don't know if there's some way we can figure out. I know Park doesn't have a whole lot of money at this point. I know that's the governing part of it. But at the same time, you know, we had cars parked everywhere. We haven't even started T-ball yet.
Right.
And there is just, I think, I'm not trying to be mean to the boys, but it seems to me there's a lot more people down there on a girls' night when it comes to parking, because grandma's, grandpa's, aunt's, uncle's, the whole shabab comes down and to watch their little girls play. And I don't know if there's some way we can start looking at expanding that in some way, shape, or form. I've been down there for my whole life almost, it seems like, and I'm not sure how you stretch the thing out, but I think we got to really start looking at examining that, because it is an issue. I know there's, just in the girls, there's over 250 girls now playing softball. And that means everybody comes down to watch. And getting in and out will help with our new entrance. But trying to find some place to park, I know there were some people parked along the riverbank. And I'm pretty confident those are going to get tickets here pretty soon. But there is really no other place to go, and so I would like to see if we could figure out something to help with that, because there's just a lot of people down there, and I'm not trying to add any more work to our park, but...
So if we can find any generous benefactors who'd be willing to build a double-decker parking garage on that area, that'd be
great. I'm not sure, you know, how we could approach that, but I think, you know, we can go down and get some ideas on how to get a few more cars into that spot, because you don't want them parking on the grass, because when it gets wet, because then it leaves tracks and it's a mess. that as well, but I don't know. I think, you know, we're just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, especially the way things are going right now. And on tourneys and things, it's just, this is really tight. I think we need to seriously look at that. But on the second, I know I said this last week, because I want to recognize the Boy Scouts for being here and taking the time out of your night to be here. I know it's not the most exciting meeting in the world. I'd rather be watching ball games myself, but you know, it's a big step, and we really appreciate you being here. And you know, stay with it, because Boy Scouts are extremely important. It was very important in my life, as far as all the camping out and all the fun stuff that we did and got away with without the Scoutmasters knowing sometimes. But I just really appreciate you guys being here. So stay with it, because it really does mean something down the road. Okay, I'm done.
Thank you, Ben.
Two things. Since Tom's not here, our new truck did go in service, I believe it was last week. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of new features on it, a lot of newer things compared to the old truck. Looks very similar to the old truck, but it's a lot more modern. And then also, I'd like to thank Dan. He filled in at Rotary today on short notice, since Jeff wasn't available and the mayor wasn't available. So
that's no problem. Three to the Lord. Uh-huh.
That's great. That's great. Good job.
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Nicole?
I have a question about removing ash trees.
Yes.
There's a resident in Eagle Glen who has removed a bunch of them, but he has one that's near the utility boxes, you know, those big green things?
Yes, electrical boxes.
And apparently he's called the city, but hasn't gotten an answer that he wanted or whatever.
Okay.
It's my thinking, though, after I walked away from him, he should probably call REMC, Mediacom, and CenturyLink, because those would be the...
So yeah, that's REMC territory. So right. if his concern is that the tree is in the utility easement, that would be an REMC issue.
That's what it
that's
is.
Correct.
So it's so, but so. Just REMC doesn't need to contact, because there's all three of the there's three boxes there.
I would start with REMC.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
My pleasure. William?
Nothing.
Media? And audience? Okay, then we'll call the meeting adjourned. Thank you. Nicole, I need to see you for a second, please.